Children, you are dismissed for children's church. Jasmine and worship team, thank you for the wonderful reminder that Jesus is the head of the church and that what he did on the cross for us is our salvation, the forgiveness of sins. He went to the cross so we wouldn't have to. Jesus is the head of the church, amen? Today, his under-shepherd is being appointed for a task of shepherding us as his flock. Not his, Pastor Noel's flock, but his, Jesus's flock. And there is going to be some time where we're going to commission Pastor Noel. But before that, I want to give just a little charge to we who are sitting in the congregation. I'm sitting there with you now, okay? But I'm just standing up here to kind of guide you through it. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians specifically, there are some descriptions of what we as a congregation are to do. Number one, we are a people belonging to God. We should look different from the world because God is our leader, our supreme number one. Not ourselves, not our political party, not anything else. We answer to God directly, and we answer through his word. We also are to declare the praises of Jesus. Even when things are bad, and it was hard for me this morning to have to get up early, to turn on a generator, to have power, because I had no power, and I have an on-demand hot water heater, and there was no hot water if there's no power. And I did not have the joy of the Lord being my strength this morning. But when I was able to thank you, Lord, for a generator and the electrician who hooked it up and all of that kind of stuff, the joy returned and I got a hot shower and then it really returned. So we as a congregation are to declare the praises of Jesus. We as the congregation are a people who are going to be prepared for works of service. Pastor Noel's responsibility as the shepherd or the under-shepherd of Christ's flock is to prepare us and to equip us for those works of service so that the body of Christ that are here at Twain Heart Bible Church or the ones that come from the valley who call our church home, we are to be built up to serve one another, that we serve the body of Christ. And then we are also to share the good news of Jesus, both locally and globally. And we as a congregation have a responsibility. We have the love and joy of Jesus in our hearts. We need to share the love and joy of Jesus with others. And we as a congregation, we're reminded in Scripture to pray for those in authority over us. And we as a congregation need to be praying for Pastor Noel, for Jasmine, for the boys, his family. We have a video affirmation. Jason, I'm going to have you get that set up. This is Tim Jacobs. He is with EFCA, and he sent a video. He can't be here today, but, you know, with wonderful technology. Well, I probably shouldn't say that just to make sure it works. But this is Tim Jacobs.
Good morning, Twain Heart Bible Church. I'm Tim Jacobs, District Superintendent of EFCA West. And in case you don't know what that means, your church is part of an association of churches called the Evangelical Free Church of America. And I work with the district that your church is in, and it is an absolute privilege of mine, first of all, to say hi to you today, but also to celebrate with you on this special day when Noel becomes your senior pastor. And it's an incredible day, not only for him, but also for the whole family, for Jasmine and Bryce and Mason and Isaiah, as he steps into this role and their family begins this journey of being a part of leadership in this way. And while it's Noel's job, it's something that affects the whole family. And so I want to just share a couple of things with you. First of all, to Noel specifically, to say, you know, Scripture has certain verses that we can look at that help instruct someone who's going to be taking on the role of lead pastor or in charge of this, you know, the spiritual authority of the church. And the first one that I like to point to is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, which specifically and clearly says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So we think of shepherds there. They look out for the sheep. They're gentle with the sheep. They care about the sheep. They give their attention to the sheep. The second verse that hits me a lot and has hit me throughout my ministry is Psalm chapter 78, verse 72. And it talks about King David. And it says that King David shepherded them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands. And I love both those concepts. The idea of having integrity in your character, in terms of what you do, but also the skills and abilities necessary to help lead a church over the long term. But you know, you as a congregation are receiving a new pastor today, and so I want to challenge you with Hebrews chapter 13, and it's verse 17, and it says this, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Now, pastors are never perfect, and we should always be making sure that, you know, that there's accountability and that sort of thing. But it's hard being a lead pastor, especially in today's environment, especially over the last 2 years. So I want to encourage you to pray for your pastor, to have, you know, a little bit of grace with him as he steps in and all the challenges and things and situations he's going to face. And I'm confident and excited about the fact that the best years of your church lie ahead. And we at EFCA West are celebrating and rejoicing with you. And we are here to help you in whatever way possible that you need to become the type of church that is radiating the love and grace of Jesus, that is healthy, that is growing, that is a light in your wonderful town there in Twain Heart. So God bless you. And again, congratulations, Noel. And we'll hope to see you soon. God bless. Good morning, Twain Heart Bible Church. I'm Tim Jacobs, Noel, District Superintendent of EFCA.
I'm going to have you come up, and Jasmine, I'm going to have you come up with him, and we'll just get set up. Noel, we're looking forward to your pastorate here at Twain Heart Bible Church. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to say a few words, and then I'm going to have Nate. We're going to get set up so we'll be able to pray for you and Jasmine, okay?
I didn't know I was saying a few words, but I'm excited. As I think about Twain, our Bible Church, we know that our mission statement is to know Christ and to make him known. And hopefully that is all of our desires. As we think about knowing Christ, that we would know him personally, that we would know the forgiveness of our sins, that we would understand the freedom that we have in Christ, and then to make him known to the community around us, that we would be people that would be loving our neighbors and caring for our neighbors, that we would be known in our community, that when people would see Twain, our Bible Church, they wouldn't think that we were the abandoned school, but they would say, I go there, I know that place, and that place loves our community and loves the people of Twain Heart. That's my desire. That's my desire for our church. That's my desire as a man to live and to lead my family in that way. And I hope that's your desire for Twain Heart Bible Church. I'm excited. I'm excited to be your pastor and to lead you to know Christ and to make him known.
We're going to move this out of the way, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer. Pastor Monty is a friend and mentor of Noel, and he's going to be bringing our service. And Pastor Monty, I'm going to have you come up, and he is going to join us as well as we pray for him. Nate Rohr was not feeling very well. The family was not well, so he, as an elder, would normally be here praying for him as Noel and Jasmine. But since he's not here, I just wanted to let you know why he wasn't here, because the family has the crud, that sickness, you know, so... We are going to spend a few minutes praying over Noel and Jasmine. We will be doing it out loud. We encourage you to join us, be praying for them as well as we pray. I will pray, Nate will pray, and then Monty will pray. And then once we are finished, we will welcome Noel as the senior pastor of Twain Heart Bible Church, after which then Pastor Monty will bring God's word to us today. So would you join us in prayer? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for Noel and Jasmine. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that it took and the discernment. And we know, Lord God, that you were leading all the way. Lord, we just pray for Noel. I pray, Lord God, for Noel and his communion with you. As senior pastor of Twain Heart Bible Church, Lord God, I pray that he would have ample time to study your word, that he would be in your word every day, learning, digesting, ruminating on the truths that you have for him. Lord, and I just pray for his time together with you in prayer, that not only as he prays for the congregation that you have put in his charge, but that, Lord God, he would be praying for his wife and his children as well. Lord, we do thank you that you have brought him here, that you have prepared him for such a time as this. Lord, and I just lift up Jasmine as well, as she is there to support and encourage and be a sounding board for Noel. Lord, I just pray that you would give him discerning ears to hear the different opinion that sometimes might be the better way to go. And we pray, Lord God, that as he digests what he hears from her and interacts with her and interacts with the elder team and interacts with you, Lord God, that it would bring you honor and glory. Lord, and I just pray for his communion with others. I think of his involvement and role in the community, and I pray, Lord God, that his witness for you would continue as he shares the good news of Jesus with those he comes in contact with. And we pray all these things in his name.
Father, I thank you for Noel. Thank you for the heart that we've seen in him. Lord, as we look towards the future and we look towards this community that we're a part of, Lord, I just pray that his vision, that with the community, that our church will catch his vision. He's done a lot of work out in the community, and as his role changes, I pray that he will be able to encourage our whole body to do that same work out in the community. Him as well. I know that he has a great love for this community, and I know that there's a lot of great things that he would like to see happen. And Lord, it's as we move forward and as we work on how to reach this community, please direct both his vision and our vision as the elders and the church to match your vision, that we would be this light that we've talked about up on the hill, that we would be just your light and show your love to this community and to the world. Lord, I appreciate where we have come. And I just pray that you'll be with us as we move forward in this.
Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you, Father, for this precious time and the opportunity to be here. And God, I just want to lift up Noel and Jasmine to you. Lord, you know that they're stepping into something that's amazing. God, the timing is perfect. God, the way that you have orchestrated for this body to be present, to be a part. And Father, I just ask that you would protect them, guide them, help them during this time. Father, we know the enemy will seek to rob and kill and destroy and do everything he can to discourage. And so, Father, I just pray protection over their family. I pray against the enemy in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that spiritually, Father, in the heavens, that you would just protect and guide and just give him wisdom and discernment. Father, we pray for Jasmine. We know as his wife, this is a tough role, tough job. God, especially to come alongside her husband. And Father, I just ask that in all of this, that you would just have your sovereign hand upon them both and upon their all their kids. And God, just thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Father, we think of their family. We pray that they would grow strong in you. That, Lord, that they would be a light that would shine here within this body and community. I pray they'd be an encouragement to those that are here. And that, Father, that this would be one big family. They would embrace one another, love one another. Father, that as you tell us in your word, that the world will know that we belong to you by the way that we love one another. And so, God, I just pray that you would help that to fall fresh upon Noel and Jasmine and the family as well as this church family. So, God, you're good, and we thank you for your goodness. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Duane Hart Bible Church, would you join me in welcoming Pastor Noel and Jasmine? Pastor Monty, welcome here. I'm so glad you made it out from Arizona.
Thank you so much.
I know this isn't exactly shorts weather, but it's a pleasure to have you here. Would you join me in a quick word of prayer as I ask God's blessings to be with our Pastor Monty this morning? Lord Jesus, thank you for Pastor Monty. Thank you for the friendship that he has with Noel and the mentorship. Lord, I just pray your words would come forth through your word today through Pastor Monty. May we have ears to hear and minds to understand, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Ooh, perfect. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you and good to be with you, and what a privilege and an honor it is for me to be with you this morning. Just was totally thankful for Noel's call, and especially to hear of the exciting news of here and taking this new role. I'm very excited for that, and what a praise. God is due praise for that. That's awesome in leading us to this moment. In fact, he has something for you. And church, I hope you do have eyes to see and ears to hear. I hope that you do see that this is going to be a fresh wind and a fresh fire that's coming upon you. And we're excited for where you've been, and we're really excited for where you're going, because it's not about the past anymore, it's about the future, and it's about what God wants to do now in and through you. And everything that's led to this moment has prepped you for being here, and so we give God praise for that. This body has plans and purposes that God has for each of you. And I tell you, I was blown away. Noel gave us the tour last night. Man, what a beautiful facility you have here. And what an awesome opportunity. Just what God can do here. It's just going to be absolutely great. And again, not to continue in what was, but moving into what will be. So I've had the privilege and honor myself to be in Noel and Jasmine's life. I can't, dude, you make me feel old. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. It's been over 20 years. And in fact, I came into his life when he was 18, and he went to our school that is our alma mater, Southwestern College, which is now Arizona Christian University. But I was serving at a church there in Phoenix, Paradise Valley Baptist, and we were in need of a youth director, and so he was in the youth tract, and we were the closest one to the school, and it was exciting how God brought him to us. And it was something about that, that as the time, as I got to share initially, I learned some things. I'm probably not telling you or teaching you anything regarding that, but what I did see was I saw his heart for ministry. I saw his heart for God and the love that burns there. And so it was a very natural, very, very obvious thing for us to say, yeah, we'd love for you to step into that role and to be that youth director. To us, he was an obvious choice. Why? Because I feel that God's hand has been on him and has continued to keep his hand on him. for all these years. And he desired to use Noel many ways for advancing God's kingdom. And as I see and I did watch and observe him serving faithfully, desiring God's hand, desiring God's blessing for his life, he knew that God's plan was for his girlfriend at the time, which is now Jasmine, to become his wife. And it was kind of fun to watch that whole thing bloom. And after spending time with her off and on before their wedding, it was a very obvious choice that just what an awesome, beautiful gal she is inside and out. And so much fun to see you up here leading worship at Paradise Valley. Her and I had the opportunity doing that together as well. And it was just fun seeing that. Very musically gifted, has a wonderful, wonderful mother. And just what a blessing. You guys have an awesome, awesome pastor's wife. So that's very exciting. So truly a pleasure to see her in that. Another confirmation that I observed that God's hand would be on both and that to be used ultimately for God's glory is that after they got married, Noel built up that youth ministry, and Jasmine, she did serve on that worship team, and it was fun to watch that just begin to flourish. Our families, we got connected. In fact, at that time, I had young children. They obviously had no children. it was kind of funny, kind of cute. We tried so hard to find the picture, we couldn't get it for you today. I had a few that, man, there were going to be some good ones, but we just could not find them anywhere. So you got lucky, Noel. You got lucky that we didn't show you that. So, but it was so fun because Jasmine, when she would watch our kids, in fact, our little one at the time, our son, who's now 21, was 4. Well, he fell in love with Jasmine. In fact, he called her Princess Jasmine. And he said that someday he was going to marry her. And of course, he was so bummed when she married Noel. So it was one of those things. But 2008, God brought our service to a close. Noel shared with me about this opportunity here to come and to serve at Twain Heart with you. Now, I told him at the time, and I was very serious about that, that I didn't want to stand in God's way. And that by all means that you need to pursue. You need to ask God and follow him in terms of what he had in store. And so he left us and he came to you. He was a blessing for us during the time that we had. And then he became a blessing to you as he came to serve each and one of you. Now it's what's fun is that we've stayed connected over these 20 years. And I've had many, many conversations with him over those 20 years. We've talked about ministry, we've talked about discipling and what that looks like and what it means, and we've also talked about issues of family and all of that playing together, and always a mutually encouraging relationship that I've had with him, and what a joy that it does and gives me, ultimately, to have been able to watch and to be able to learn and just see how God has taken Noel and continues to move him forward. From being that college student and graduating to becoming a man of God in service to the High King in whom we serve. And what a joy for that, which leads us to this moment. I've been walking with all of you through this process here at Twain Heart. As your journey to this moment has been filled, it's come with moments that have been stretching, moments of growth, moments of uncertainty, moments of uncomfortableness, and even at times probably a little painful. And now God has brought resolve, and now he's moving you forward. For you, I'm glad, ultimately, that God has answered and that you have been led by God for Noel to become the next leader here, the next shepherd under the great shepherd. So I'm very thankful for that, to help lead you forward and help advance God's kingdom. Now, truth be told, I wanted to bring him back to Arizona to come back and work with me. But I'm grateful that he listened to God instead. And, you know, it's fun. We have our plans, but God has his. And I'm grateful that he is so faithful in listening to what God has for him. Noel understands that he is in the service of God. He's not in the service of man. Though he's charged by God, is to serve man, which is you and is this community. But he ultimately is accountable before God. So why? Why is that? Because this is an appointment. In fact, if you have your handout today, I said, this is a blessed appointment. That's the name of this message today. Because it is. It's an appointment. It's not a job. I hope you know, and I hope you understand. I've been a senior pastor for over 20 years. I've been in full-time ministry 30 years. And I tell you what, this is not a job. This is not a job by any means. Because if it was a job, probably would have quit a long time ago. Truthfully. I'm not playing. And mainly because of this, because this is what I want you to do, because this is what happens, okay? Why is it that we would have quit a long time ago? Because people are crazy. People are crazy, right? So look to the person on your left and tell them right now, say, you're crazy. Seriously. Okay? Come on, you can do better than that. Come on. Okay, and you know another reason why, and this is what I want you to do, I want you to turn to the people on your right, the other direction. And because why? Because people are messy. And I want you to say to them, yeah, that's really me. Look to the person on your right and tell them that. Okay? So why would we quit a long time ago? Because people are crazy and people are messy. And it is. It's the nature of who we are. In fact, I don't know if you've heard this overused joke, but many have said that church would be perfect if it didn't have people. And that's probably why. Because we are such a mess. And isn't it good to know that we have a God that's so patient, so kind and so good, and so long-suffering with us in terms of our growth and development. But yeah, again, people can be moody. People also are beautiful. People also are in need, the need of a Savior and of a hope and of a life, not only here now, but also one eternal. So there's a whole mixed bag of why, if this was a job, it probably wouldn't last. So yes, this is an appointment, and it's an appointment by God, not by man. It's Jesus who appoints. So I want you to turn with me. Take your Bibles out. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 11 and 12 at the moment. We're going to work our way through this just a little bit. Just want to give you some encouragement from the Word as you see how this plays out in terms of being an appointment by God. I'm reading to you out of the New American Standard. This is what it says, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 11 and 12. It says, and he gave, that's Jesus speaking here, Jesus gave in terms of Paul saying this, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Again, he gave some to be an apostle, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, some as pastors or shepherds or under-shepherds and teachers, and all of this for the equipping. And so when you look at this scripture, and it's funny kind of hearing what Barry said and what your district leadership said. It's kind of funny. I was sitting back there, and my wife asked me, she says, did they steal your points? And I said, well, it's fun when I see what the Holy Spirit does because it's redundant. Right? Don't we need redundancy? Don't we? I don't always catch it when I get it the first time. Sometimes the second, third, fifth, eighth, tenth time. Sometimes that helps a little bit. So what I said to my wife is, I said, you know what's fun? Barry had no idea what I was going to say. I had no idea what that guy was going to say, right? And what's cool is that some of the points I'm going to give you today, you're going to hear this theme throughout this entire commissioning time. So that what that means to me is that the Holy Spirit, who is in us and through us, he wants us to hear something. So it's important that we listen. It's important that we take that in. And first observation of this passage, I think it's very clearly, it's intentional, it's purposeful. As Christ is the head of his church, he is the supreme authority. He is the one whom all is built through and up. It's his testimony of who he is as to why the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. He is the head. And because he is the head, he is over the bride. And he leads his church with purpose. He leads his church with intention. He leads his church with clarity. As I share with my congregation that I have, we're not here accidentally. You're not just randomly in this room at the moment. You're not randomly gathered as a body called Twain Heart, and that you're in this community. No, God has placed you and planted you, and you're part of something way bigger than yourself. And I hope you agree with that today. You're part of something bigger than just this moment. God is very organized and intentional, and he's resourced. And the church, what the church does is it needs the gifts that Christ himself gives to accomplish his will and his purpose through us and with us. Because isn't it cool to know that God chooses to use you? Do you know he doesn't need you to accomplish his will? He chooses to use you. And that's the most beautiful part of it. That we get to be part of something serving alongside of our Savior. That it's him that empowers us and gives us the ability to go in his name. And how much of a joy that that truly is. See, Paul instructs us here as to what gifts to the church that Jesus has given. He starts with the word apostle. He gives us the understanding here. And this is to be understood differently from the apostle of Jesus, as we would see in the very, very beginnings of the church. So this was much different than that. This gift is a special ambassador, one that's has the ability for God's work in this way. It's a messenger that's willing to go wherever God leads and speak boldly and to pioneer where hope is needed. And so there is giftings of this, not necessarily the office of this. There's some requirements Scripture teaches. You had to see Jesus firsthand to be considered one of the original disciples or apostles. So here, this gift, though, however, is very important, and God still uses it today. Jesus also has given us prophets, he says. Again, different from the church's early beginning, because we have, in the 66 books of Scripture, we have the revealed word. We have the revelation. But what this gift of prophecy, if you would, as a prophet, would be more one of a forth teller of God's word. That is, a proclaimer of truth. That is making sure to this world that do you agree the world's nuts right now? Would you agree with that? Would you agree that the world is lacking understanding of truth? And how important and valuable it is for us to be able to proclaim that truth. And to do so in a way that's loving, caring, obviously, but one that's direct and honest and points people to God. So when we proclaim consistent with Scripture, both true Old and New Testaments and the Old as well, well, we need to be unafraid of man or government. So a prophet is one that does so in that regard. Jesus also has given evangelists. And those, it's what we see here, especially this gifting, is to say that, you know, they have kind of a special favor. They have that way where they are able just to lead others to Christ. Now, I've heard the backlash to this, and I hope this isn't you. I hope this isn't what you've said. I hope you've never mentioned this in this regard. Many times I've heard people say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, that's why I don't talk. Well, understand something. If you are a Christ follower, you claim Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've invited him in to be your Savior. Okay, we know that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car, correct? We understand that? Okay, so the church isn't what it is. It's a relationship with Jesus. And I'm sure Noel has given much, and I'm sure the elders and the former pastors as well have talked and shared a lot about that. When we come to faith and understand, here's the deal. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 charges all of us. Charges all of us. That if we claim Christ as Savior and Lord, he says that we therefore are to go into the world. Right? Go into that world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, basically proclaiming the good news. That's our role. So, however, the gift of evangelists, some just seem to have a little bit more favor. Some have that opportunity. Man, they just share it and they just see people come to faith. They're able to share and witness in this way, and we see this. And yet there are some that we just seem that they somehow have more of a harvest. They're able to be there at more of that moment. And versus maybe the one who tills the soil, or the one who plants the seed, or the one who waters, or the one who weeds. Let me make sure that you understand this. Folks, no matter where you go, no matter where you're at, and no matter what you share, it's always with purpose and intention. And as you're there, maybe you might not be the one to be at the harvest. That's okay. As I share with our people, that you're the beginning of someone's life and the end of someone's life, you don't know anywhere that you might be on their timeline. You have no idea. And you don't know what God wants to do with it. But he gives us the privilege to be able to share. And so if we get to see the harvest, praise God. If we don't get to see the harvest, praise God. Either way, the Lord gets the glory that he deserves. And then finally, Jesus has given us some as pastors and teachers. Now, it's interesting because I've heard some refer to this as the fivefold gospel, which if you look at the context of this, pastor and teacher, it's actually one. It's not two. And because of this, it's important to understand the pastor, the under-shepherd, that is to the great shepherd, and as a teacher, one who communicates, one who's an example, an instructor, a corrector, an encourager, an exhorter. Both of those go together in many, many ways, especially in this particular office as pastor. Guzik, he's one of the commentators I enjoy. He says this. He says, these gifts, they are given at the discretion of Jesus. They're all working through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives 1 Corinthians 12:11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, God gives you gifts. I hope you're not here today going, well, I don't have a gift. No, you do. Now, you may not fully understand it, and that's okay. That's where God gives you the opportunity to learn and grow and develop and mature, and hopefully as a disciple that you're going to be hungry to say, God, what do you have me? Where am I in your kingdom? How do you want to use me to your glory? But allowing God to unearth those gifts as he is distributed. We all have them. And we've all been given them. The importance, he says, because it goes on to continue, he says, the importance of having all four in operation in any church body is up to Jesus, who appoints the offices and the gifts. The job of responsible church leadership is not to hinder or to prevent such ministry, but never to promote it into existence. In other words, trying to find place a warm body in a hole. That we want to make sure that the Lord is the one who raises up, depending on where they need to be and where they fit, and how they contribute to the whole. So, according to Paul's words to us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says these four gifts, all of them, are from Jesus with his bride, the church, as the recipient. Which means that Twain Heart Bible, Noel, is God's gift to you. I hope you embrace that. I hope that's something that you hold on to and that you treasure. I know your former pastor is no longer here, and that's fine, and we give God praise that he led everyone to this moment. But God has now given you another gift, and that gift is Noel. And God has placed him here as such, to this body, in service to God, in whom he is charged, to serve you, to lead you, to teach you, to shepherd you. All of this under God's leading and under the Holy Spirit's direction. Now, truth is, Noel isn't the Savior. He's not Jesus, nor will he ever want to ever even try to fill those shoes. There is only one Savior. Can I get an amen to that this morning? There's only one Savior. So he is not it of Twain Heart Bible, but he is the one who points you all to the Savior. And that's so, so important. Noel possesses spiritual gifts. He has them. In addition to Jesus' given gifts as shepherd and teacher. But he has not all the gifts. Why? Because that's where you come into play. He can't possess all of them. He has his and his to give. But you as a body also have yours as well. And what a joy to know, as Corinthians tells us, because we are one body, but yet many members. And God has all gifted us, and that's why it's so valuable for each of you to be here, to be a part of this family. That's so awesome. And he desires to employ it and to use it to God's glory. Noel is God's given gift as pastor and teacher to this body. And he has specific responsibilities and accountabilities. And we see this here. Look what it says here. Talks about those four offices and gifts. Look what he says here. Now, this is more of the responsibility and the accountability that Noel has. Verse 12. Notice what it says. It says four. Okay, it's interesting. It says four three times. But four, showing the purpose of what's to follow. What are the purposes? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So if we kind of break this down a little bit here, verse 12, this gift's given for the equipping of the saints. Let's start there. Guzik says this. He says equipping, I love this, also has the idea. In fact, when we look in the original language, it talks about being to be put right. And the ancient Greek also describes it in a way kind of as a picture of one who sets broken bones or one who mends nets. So for the equipping of the saints, ultimately what we're saying here is that therefore these ministries, they all work together for the basically to produce strong and mended fit Christians. His role and job is to present that opportunity, to challenge you from this pulpit, to proclaim God's truth, to provide opportunities of ministry and service. Ultimately, can he make you grow? It's pretty quiet. Can he make you grow? No, he can't make you grow. You have to be the one to step into it. He can do everything he can up to that point of equipping you, but you have to be the one to walk into it. For the work of the ministry, notice what it says here. Ultimately, to fulfill our God-given mandate, that is to walk in obedience to God, to be a proclaimer of truth, to be one who points others to Jesus, to live that life in such a way, as the Word tells us in Matthew 5, that we should live our in such a way that our light shines. And it shines to the world around us, that they might not even understand it fully, but they there's something in them that they're going to go, wow, there's something different about you. Our role, our job, is to be in that regard. And so his responsibility is to help that, to help encourage that, to prepare you for the work of the ministry. Also, and finally, this gift given for the building up of the body of Christ. And this is a tough one. It's hard. It's not easy. This one takes a lot of patience and time. But this building up of the body of Christ is to provide spiritual edification. That is to come alongside, to bring things from here, to provide opportunities that are going to encourage you where you're at, build you up where you're at. And it's going to be basically for your focused benefit, for your health and for your vitality. Which in this, there's going to be a whole lot of things that are involved in that when it comes to building up the body. And what it encourages and brings out is that there needs to be nurturing. There needs to be that attitude, that atmosphere, the environment, the family connection and relationship that provides nurturing and one that challenges you. That also brings about conviction in you. I don't know if you've heard this or not. I don't know if you've said this or not from time to time. But you know what the role of the pastor is? Do you have any idea what the role of the pastor is? Somebody said this once, and I can't tell you who quoted it, but basically, I love this. It says this, that the role of the pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. That's our role. Our role is to bring to you opportunities of truth and confrontation of such that we all have to go and look at it together. Understand this, and I'm pretty sure you guys know this. You know Noel. It's been fun just hanging in the back, observing and watching how you interact with him. That was kind of cool to watch that. I think you get his heart. I think you do. And I think you know that when he's up here speaking, he's not up here coming holier than thou, speaking down to you. He's speaking among you and with you. Why? Because he's growing too. And he knows that he needs every bit of what he's saying as much as you need it. And so in this, it's important. We see that the challenging, the convicting, there's also in building up the body involves rebuke. Because there's sometimes we step out of line in agreement with what Scripture is. And therefore, having that to come forth in truth, in a spirit of love, again, that's very, very important. So that it can provide exhortation and encouragement. Ultimately, to help you develop and mature. And to grow in your relationship with Christ. So that, here's the thing. So that, you know what, a year from now, you're not the same person. I hope you that every year you're like, hey, okay, 2023, here we are, new year ahead. Can you guys even believe we're here? Holy cow, right? It just seemed like it was like all of a sudden it was here. We want to be in a different space and place in our walk with Christ. We do, a year from now than we are right now. As we want to be different today than we were a year ago. We want to continually know that we're moving forward for Him. But all of this for the development and the maturity of that brings about the health and vitality of the church. So Noel, yes, Noel is charged by God. Understand this, to fulfill faithfully the stewarding of God's gift that He is to you as pastor and teacher, to you as this church body, but also you as a body. It's not just His responsibility and accountability. You also have responsibility and accountability. So you, Twain Hart, this is important. I hope you hear this. Twain Hart Bible, you must be equipable. You must be workable. You must be buildable. That's on you. That's not on Him. He's here to proclaim and be faithful, but it's up to you that those three things flesh out in your daily walk. How that's going to happen is you got to fight pride. You got to fight pride. You got to fight prejudice. You got to fight gossip and arrogance and haughtiness and resistance. You got to fight against laziness and legislative preference, which basically says that my way is the only right way and not yours. You got to fight rebelliousness. You got to fight faithlessness. You've got to fight hopelessness. All of those things need to be challenged that you don't allow those to be prevalent in your life. Because if you don't fight all of these that we've all stated as above, that what's going to happen is that you will contribute to preventing what God wants to do in you and through you here in Twain Hart. It's not about one man solely. It's not about one body solely. It takes both. He needs to be submitted to Christ. You need to be submitted to Christ. If you both submit to Christ, guess what's going to happen? Awesome stuff, yeah? Great stuff. Things that you've already experienced that are great, yeah, 100 times that. God has scratched the surface of what He wants to do. He needs us to be in alignment with Him. It takes both, submitted to Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit the very freedom to reign and to rule, to accomplish all of this to God's glory. God knows this, and God has revealed this to us, and that He knows, He reveals that He knows it, and he takes both, and it takes time. And look at this, what verse 13 says as we bring this to a close. Why is this? Why does He recognize that this takes both of us? Him and as the body together. Why does it take time? Verse 13. Notice what it says. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It takes time. Folks, this is what God is revealing to us. To us here today. That you are on a journey. And you're on it together. And this should be a great time. This should be a celebrative time. This should be an amazing time. This should be an encouraging time. This should be just everything that gives about the joy of what it means to be here. Remember, the crazy, messy people to your right and left, that we all are that. And we all need Jesus. And we're all on a journey together. We're all on this journey that's shared together to grow and to mature together. To serve together, to love God greater, to serve this community greater. So how do we do this journey and how do we walk this together? I want to give you just, again, some very practical ways. How can you be on this as Noel, as your pastor, and as the body that God has called here, submitted to Him and to His leadership as pastor? How does that start? Well, it starts with this. I don't know if you take notes or not. I know my church does, but here's the thing. Prayer starts with prayer. I will tell you that the big, most significant thing, the church I'm serving at now, just completed my 13th year. I'm going towards 14 as senior pastor. Things change for us when we began to pray. Things change for us as a body. I mean, legitimately change. The Spirit of God fell on us. We see people coming to faith. We see people joining. We see baptisms. There's a lot of things that God starts to do. And I will tell you, and I will give God all the glory and credit for it. It started when we began to pray. Prayer is your beginning. Prayer is your ending. Prayer is everything in between. Because prayer is what's going to accomplish what God wants to do here, because it will align our hearts the way that they need to be. Prayer. Prayer for Him. Prayer for His family, for His leadership, for His growth. Pray that He grows. Pray that He continues to grow. Pray for His gifting to be fully employed, for His maturity, for His wisdom, for His discernment. Pray for him to overcome his fears. Guys, you have no idea what it's like to sit in the seat. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's tough. It's hard. You know what I've found over the years? I love the sheep. I love those that God has given in the flock that I tend. But sheep have teeth and they bite. They do. And it's hard because you're there loving the very ones that he's given, but then they're the ones that are biting. And it's hard. Because sometimes you want to have barbecue and you can't. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, you can't. But it's those things that it's not easy. And there will be fears that he has that he doesn't even know that he has. I'm telling you what, I've been in his shoes as an associate assistant. It's great because you're given a task and a responsibility to oversee a section of the pasture that's of that flock. But I tell you what, when you become responsible for the entire pasture, whole different ballgame. In fact, I called my mentor that I served under for 9 years, who groomed me to become a senior. I told him after about month two of taking the first senior pastor to Paradise Valley where he and I served, I called him and I said, John, I said, I have a whole new appreciation for you now. Because you know what? The buck does stop on my desk. I can't punt like I did before and give it to you. So there's some fears he's going to have to walk through. You need to pray for him that God will take him through that and not allow the enemy to use it. That's important. Why? Because we know what Scripture says, right? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind, right? So we know that fear isn't from God, but he's going to have those. You're going to have to pray for him for that, to overcome those, and his insecurities as well, and the burdens. Pray for his boldness and his ability to hear from God and to be obedient to God, no matter what. So body, it starts with prayer. Also starts with patience. You need to be patient. And I tell you, it's encouraging that you have given this opportunity, that God's given it to you, but you got to be patient. You got to be patient. You got to be patient to his adjustment, to his appointed gifting, his position, his office. Even though he's served here among you and has been leading you, it's different, and it is different. Pray for him to adjust. Pray and be patient with grace. Give him grace. Give him mercy. It's important, especially as he grows. Be patient as a body to grow. Be patient together as Noel grows. And be patient allowing God to speak and to move and to mature this body for the glory of God. Have patience. And then finally, participate. Participate. That means engage right now. Be all in right now. Don't be the one who sits back on the haunches and goes, yeah, I'm going to kind of watch and see how this thing goes. No, get engaged. Get involved. Plug in. There's a place for you. There's always a place for you. I encourage you. Don't sit back. Be engaged. Join in with him. That you, as the body of Christ, that you are responsible and accountable before God himself. To join him. To help him. To serve him and his family. To be a blessing to him. Because I will tell you, no matter what you sow, it will return in a harvest, many, many more times sown. It's interesting and encouraging that your vision statement is to know Christ and to make him known. That is also ours at Community Alliance Church in Wickenburg, where I'm from. I'm going to ask you this question. I don't say this in an unkind way, so please don't take it as being snippy. But I want to ask you a question. Is it real to know Christ and to make him known? Is that really where your heart's at? Is that really where the heart of this body's at? I say that only to challenge it, not because I'm being snippy or snarky, but I want you to think about that, because if that is truly, truly the heartbeat here, to know Christ and to make him known, then do it. And better yet, do it together. Be encouraged on this journey with all your crazy and all your messy that God so chooses to pull you together and to be used for his glory. And that's what it's about. Amen? It's all to the glory of God. This moment is to the glory of God. Where your body is, where this church is, where you're in this community, it's all to the glory of God. So I just pray this over you. May God bless you. May God bless Noel in this next chapter of life and ministry in his own and within this body itself. And to that we say, amen. Amen. And how about I close in prayer? That'd be all right? Father God, I come to you and I just pray in Jesus' name right now, Father. I just want to pray your blessing over this body. Father, I thank you that you have so chose for them this day to bring Noel, God, under your guidance and leadership, to bring him to this moment, to be used for your glory, to be the one who takes this position and leads. I pray, Father, that this community, this body, God, would just make such an impact on this community. That, Father, that many would come to faith. That lives would be changed. That marriages would be saved. That, Father, that youth would come to faith. That, Father, that this body would grow and mature. And that, Lord, that it would be the light that shines brightly. So, Father, may your blessings be upon Noel, his family, and this church body. And God, we give you all the thanks and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.